Okay. We had left off over here on the Vav Amud Aleph, where we saw the Havamina of Rabbi Yishmael. That the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva was, how does one pay meitav? Is meitav a din in the is meitav a din within what you pay? What type of karka one pays, or does meitav go far beyond that to the din of mida that we're not paying necessarily according to the value of the damage, but we're paying according to the item that was damaged, and then we would have a havamina. We saw the various havaminas that maybe you would end up paying more than you damaged. Or in a case of suffix, perhaps we would say that we would have a suffix deraisa lachumra instead of motzei pevel v'haraya. But the Gemara rejects all of that, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that meitav, that certainly in the world of nezikin, you are paying damim, you are paying value for value. It's not a question of paying mida, but we're dealing with what type of real estate. Do you pay? And we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, whether we use the standard of meitav of the nizak or we use the standard of meitav of the mazik. And the Gemara asks, my taima the Rabbi Yishmael, why would Rabbi Yishmael use the standard of the nizak? So he says, we have a gzera shava, ne'emar sada lamata ve'emar sada lamala, ma sada ha'amor lamala the nizak, Asada ha'amor lemata de nizak. So the gzera shava would appear to bring the nizak into the world of tashlumin. Rabbi Akiva, meitav sadehu umeitav karmo yishalem. And the hech the kameshalem, that the kra, the pasuk which deals with meitav itself. Seems to have an indication that we go according to the Yishalem, according to the Mazik. Rav Yishmael, Ahani Gzeira Shava, Vahani Kra. So the Gemara says that Rav Yishmael really has two dinim. We'll have to understand what they are. That one din comes from the Gzeira Shava of the Meitav of the Nizak, but he also would have a situation where the Kra, where the simple meaning of the Pasuk that Rabbi Akiva based his din on, would be meaningful. Ahani gzeira shava l'chada amina. That we point out that generally we use the standard of the nizak. Ahani kra kagon the islay lamazik idis v'ziburis the idis the nizak, which is the standard v'ziburis the mazik. I'm sorry. The islay lamazik idis v'ziburis. Ve'idis l'nizak, ve'ziburis demazik lo shavya ki'idis denizak. In such a situation, mishalim lei mimetav didei. De lo matzi amar lei ta'at gabe gavi miziburis, ela gavi mimetav. That if we have a situation where the mazik has two types of fields, ziburis and idis, and the standard that we want to use is not found in either of those two types. The standard of Idis de Nizak falls between the Ziburis of the Mazik and the Idis of the Mazik. Then, Ahanikra, that Metav Sadehu, Metav Karmo Yishalem. Then we go after the Metav of the Mazik. How can you understand this din of Rabbi Yishmael? Perhaps in two different ways. What would be one way of understanding it? What would be another way of understanding it? You
know? I guess when the nizak idis does not line up with the ziburis of the mazik, then you have no choice but to go up from there, because if you give him the ziburis, then everyone will agree that that's less than what he deserves.
And when you are giving him the Edis, what are you doing? Are you is this simply a fallback position which has no root in the Torah? We have over here a pasuk. What is the pasuk teaching us, according to Rabbi Yishmael?
In the end of the day, some sort of iddus needs to be given.
Ah, okay. The Rabbi Yishmael has a halacha that there has to be a payment of iddus. That's meitav. Meitav is defined as iddus, but we could have two different standards of iddus: the standard of the nizak or the standard of the mazik. So comes Rabbi Yishmael and says, the Gzeira Shava teaches us that l'chatchila you should use the standard of the nizak. When that is not feasible, because the mazik doesn't have that standard, so then b'di'evad we use the edis of the mazik. Namely, we have a halacha. We have a halacha that you have a din of edis, and this din of edis can be fulfilled l'chatchila with the meitav of the maz of the nizak, and b'di'evad with the meitav of the mazik. Correct? But you always have to pay meitav. Just that we have a seder adifut. We have over here preferences as to what comes first and what comes second. How else could you learn? How else could you learn?
That there's no requirement of edis when it's not possible to be done with the nizak?
In other words, that when we only have a world of edis of the nizak. Right, the edis of the nizak, that's the definition of meitav. What do you do when it doesn't exist? And you have a choice of going down or going up? So then, we have a hanikra that you always go up. In other words, but we're not changing the definition of edis. Edis is defined as the edis of the nizak. But when it's not around, and you have to choose, do I go down or do I go up? Then I go up. Nafkamina. If let's say the mazik has three types of fields, he has ziburis and beinonis and edis. And the edis of the nizak falls between the ziburis of the mazik and the beinonis of the mazik. Okay? So according to the first approach that we spoke about, what would you pay in such a situation?
The
edis of the mazik, because you need edis. And if we're not going to use the edis of the nizak, we're going to move over to the edis of the mazik. However, according to the second way of understanding it, what do you do? You go up to the beinonis. Namely, that we only have the standard of edis of the nizak. That's our only definition of meitav. Meitav is edis of the nizak. When that is not around, we have halacha that you go up to whatever the mazik has, which is higher than that. Who deals with this situation? What Rishon talks about this issue?
The Rush.
This is the Rush, right? So let's look together at the Rush. Oh, I should have brought my Gemara. Okay, so talk. Okay, so the Rush, in other words, points out, Kaimalan halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero. We pass like Rabbi Akiva, that l'chatchila we use the standard of the mazik. And then he continues, Ahanikra, di islei l'mazik idis v'ziburis, v'ziburis didei lo shavya ki idis denizak, meshalem le mi meitav. V'i islei l'mazik idis u'benonis v'ziburis, Velo shavya ziburis the mazik ki idis the nizak, ubenonis shavya tvemi idis the nizak, ista amre yohivle benonis, umidaktek midashavik gemara benonis, alma ihavile benonis the shavya tvemi idis the nizak, yohivle benonis. Ve ista amre afiluhachi yohivle idis. Ve divrehem nireli, da hanik zera shava, va hanik rotra vayula shalem. Mi meitav, namely that the Rush l'chore, if we take this approach that we have these two understandings, the Rush is quoting these two understandings, and he is siding with the understanding that according to Rabbi Yishmael, you always pay Edis, l'chatchila, Edis of the Nizak, b'dievet Edis of the Mazik. We're never going to use Beinonis, but he does quote such a shita, right? Know that these are the two options. Both the Teferi Shmuel and the Pilpula Charifta have a very powerful question on the Rush, which is, why are we getting involved in all of this? The Rush just said, Kaimalan Rabbi Akiva. This whole issue is only according to Rabbi Yishmael. Is this the way we're understanding the two sides of the Rush currently? Is this question, could this question be neutralized? Yes, how? Thank you very much. And again, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, so why is the Rush dealing with Rabbi Yishmael? So if we're going to learn Rabbi Yishmael like the Rush Paskins, that according to Rabbi Yishmael, you always need Edis the Nizak L'chatchila, and B'dievid we have a din of Edis the Mazik, then this is all within Rabbi Yishmael. So then, it doesn't make sense what the Rush is doing. What the Rush is doing. He's shooting himself in the leg. But if we learn like the second way, like the first way in the Rush, the second way that we offered, then l'chora, what is Rabbi Yishmael saying? Rabbi Yishmael is saying is that I hold a world of Edis the Nizak, but when we don't have Edis the Nizak, what is the Ahane Rekra? That we always go up. That's a din, according to Rabbi Yishmael, b'chol ha-Torah kula. B'chol ha-Torah kula, whenever the Torah is going to demand a certain payment, and that payment we cannot fulfill the way that the Torah suggests that it be fulfilled, we're going to go up. Let's say, for example, I accidentally ate two apples of truma. Each of those apples weighed 30 grams. So what am I supposed to return to Truma? Two apples of 30 grams, right? That's the halacha in Truma, that we pay lefi hamida. What if I don't have two apples of 30 grams? I have either two apples of 35 grams or two apples of 25 grams. So what Rabbi Yishmael is learning out from the pasuk that whenever I need a certain standard and I can't find it, I always go up. That's a chiddush. We need a pasuk. We wouldn't, we could have said, oh, hamotzi mechev el haraya, it's mamanos, etc. So we have a din b'chol ha-Torah kula. So that would be a reason to quote this halacha, because it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is simply teaching us that we have over here a pasuk that teaches us a principle that can apply b'chol ha-Torah kula. And therefore, istamri, therefore the Rush is quoting this deya, because this deya would be the halacha. Namely, it would have, in Achinami, it doesn't have relevance in the case of Meitav. Because in the case of Meitav, we pass them like Rabbi Akiva. But it would have relevance to other situations. And so it's something that one can raise. Because it's a pasuk. We're learning out something from a pasuk, yes?
Why is it such a chiddush that you always round up?
Because, one could very well say that Chas HaTorah Mamonon Shel Yisrael. In other words, that we find situations where we have a din of Motzi Mechev of Haraya. We don't always go up. In other words, we can have situations. If you recall, when we dealt with Eved Va'ama Sheiziku, right? So we pointed out over there that then the owner is Pater Shema Yakni Tenu Rabo, right? So what happens to the poor Nizak? Just doesn't get anything. I mean, you have cases in the Torah in which you just don't get anything. If it doesn't fit in, right? So we have a din of mazik. If a person is gore mehezek as opposed to doing a hezek, so he's part of b'dinei adam. Is that fair? Shouldn't we go up? Shouldn't we at least maybe give the nizak something? No, we don't give him anything. And sometimes when something doesn't fit into the framework of a chiyuv, so there is simply no payment. And so over here we have halacha, that when we have a standard, and that standard can't be met, but we can go above it or below it, we go above it. Okay? So I think one could very well learn like that. However, Rav Gustman did not learn the Rush that way. In other words, even though I'm pointing out that l'chora, this is a way of learning, I think, a valid way of learning the Rush, that we have two ways of viewing Rabbi Yishmael. One in what Rabbi Yishmael has a din within Meitav. Of l'chatchila Meitav de Nizak and b'dieved Meitav de Mazik. But the other way of learning is, no, Rabbi Yishmael simply has one din. You pay Meitav de Nizak. But if you can't pay Meitav de Nizak, so then we have a lacha that we always go up and not down. That is one way of learning the Rush. How does Rav Guzman learn the Rush? Did anyone have a chance to look? Rav Guzman understood that the Rush is telling us that certainly, according to Rav Yishmael, we only have a din of Meitav de Nizak. That's a Gzera Shava. That's Rav Yishmael says. We have Nemar Meitav Lamala, Nemar Meitav Lamata, just as the Meitav Lamata is the Nizak, so the Meitav Lamala is the Nizak. However, we have over here a question as to how do we define Meitav? Is Meitav a classic Brisker Chakira? Is Meitav a din in the Cheftza, or is Meitav a din in the Gavra? And do we say that just like this is a table, and this is a chair, and you are a human being, so also there is a Cheftza of Meitav. And that Cheftza of Meitav is defined by the Meitav of the Nizak. Or, no, maybe there's no Cheftza of Meitav. Meitav is not a noun, it's an adjective. Meitav is a zachut. Meitav is the right of the Nizak to say, I would rather have, in other words, a higher standard. I would rather have a Meitav. In other words, I would rather use my standard of Meitav rather than anything else. Again, with the nafkamina being, if we could fulfill the payment of Meitav with Beinonis, when the Beinonis is worth more than the Edis of the Nizak. So if it's a question of a zechut that of the Gavra, namely that the Nizak has the right to say, I want my standard of Beinonit, so why not? So in other words, give him the Beinonit, I want my standard of Edit, so give him the Beinonit of the Mazik, Yesh Bechal Masayim Mana. Within the Beinonis of the Mazik, we have the Meitav of the Nizak. However, the other understanding is nothing doing. It's not Meitav. Meitav is an object. Meitav is a noun. I can't just play about, you know, words, what that I'm giving him more than he asked for. I have to give him a Meitav, and therefore I couldn't use the bait on this. Let me just give you an example. Let's say there's a concept of kinyan chalipin, right? That you can use a handkerchief for kinyan chalipin. Could you use a coin for kinyan chalipin? Kesef? There's a gemara that says no. You can't use kesef for kinyan chalipin. But l'chora, the coin could be worth more than the kli. In other words, the handkerchief doesn't necessarily mean a handkerchief that I buy in Macy's. A handkerchief, in other words, so when you deal with Kinyan Suder, it could be a paper clip that's worth a penny, or even less than a penny. It could be that I could buy five paper clips for a penny, and still I could use a paper clip. I don't say that because it's worth more, I can use it, because we need a cheftza of a kli. A kli is a kli, and money is money. Money can't substitute for a kli. So if meitav is a cheftza, if meitav is a noun, then I have to pay meitav. I can't give beinonis. But if metav is not a noun, metav simply means that the nizak has the right to say, I prefer my standard of nizak of edis to the standard of the mazik. So then, as long as we're fulfilling his standard and above, that should already be enough. If we're learning that way, then this is only a din of Rabbi Yishmael. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. This has nothing to do with B'chol HaTorah Kula. This is a question within the definition of Meitav. Rabbi Yishmael has his definition of Meitav. He has his Ahani Gzera Shava V'Ahani Kra, that within the world of Meitav, we have a din in the Ahani Gzera Shava V'Ahani Kra, and we have two understandings of what does it mean to say Ahani Kra. Does Ahani Kra mean they were talking about the Cheftza of the Meitav or the Gavra, according to Rabbi Yishmael? But it's all to do with Meitav. There's no din over here, B'chol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, if we don't paskin like Rabbi Yishmael, then we're stuck. Namely, the question of the Tiferes Shmuel and Pilul Charifta remains according to Rav Gusman. You know, it is an alternative way of learning the Rush. Okay, that the question as to whether you can use Beinonis or not is not necessarily, as we spoke of earlier, the question as to whether I have to pay Meitav or simply say Yesh B'chal Masayimana. But the question over here is, I'm sorry, last time, or whether I go up or I go down, in general, whenever I don't have the object that I need, do I go up or go down? That was one way of learning the Rush. The other way of learning the Rush is how to understand the din of Meitav de Nizak. Is it we're defining Meitav as a Cheftza, or we're giving the Nizak a certain schut to be able to insist on going at least according to his standard?
Yeah. Where does Augustine even learn the Kiddush of going up?
He doesn't deal with that at all. That was raised here in Shir. Yes.
According to the way Rabbi first wanted to interpret the Rush, is it saying that the Machokas here, at least Rabbi Kiva's opinion, is completely local. It's all about the Meitav, while Rabbi Shmuel's, while he is arguing here, he's more coming from a broader standpoint of general.
That's the stuff. Yeah. In other words, the that Rabbi Akiva clearly is a local din in Meitav. Within Rabbi Yishmael, we have two deos in the Rush. Is it a local din in Meitav with a sense of priority, or is it bringing in a din b'chol HaTorah Kula?
He thinks the Rush is siding on it is a local din.
The Rush himself says it's a local din, but since Ista Amre, he brought that deah because that deah has relevance to Kol HaTorah Kula, I think.
The Chor of the Rush would reject that in Kol HaTorah Kula.
The Rush himself rejects it, correct. The Rush understands that we have over here a machokas in terms of Meitav. Is, according to Rabbi Akiva, Meitav is only Meitav de Mazik. According to Rabbi Yishmael, l'chatchilo it's Meitav de Nizak, and b'dievet it's Meitav de Mazik. That's Ahani Gzera Shava Ahani Kra. That's the way the Rush himself learns. But he quotes Adeya, no, that Rabbi Yishmael is teaching us a din b'chol HaTorah Kula, that when you don't have what you need, we go up. And that is something that is kedai to write in the Rush.
Going back to our Truma apples, the Rush would say, no, don't bring the 35.
We don't have a proof to that from here. We can't prove it from here. Maybe there's some other proof to it, but we can't prove it from here.
But look, right, would the Rush bring, like, would it make sense for the Rush to bring a manar that he didn't hold, like, for the purpose of teaching halacha, I'll leave it to them, that wasn't, that he like didn't disagree with? But still didn't, like, you know, like, is right.
Look, in other words, it will help us to say that yes. Because otherwise, really, the question is a very powerful question, both of the Tiferes Shmuel and how do you, right after you say, Kaimon halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, then to begin to get deal with Rabbi Akiva, with Rabbi Yishmael, it's just not like the Rush to do such a thing. Okay. Adkan in terms of Rabbi Yishmael. Now let's move back to Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara then moves over to Rabbi Akiva on the Vav Amud Beis and points out Rabbi Akiva Omer lo bo hakosav el olivos nezikin min ha'idis. That's the Ahane Kra according to Rabbi Akiva. V'kal v'chomer lehekdesh. So the question is, what does these three words mean? V'kal v'chomer lehekdesh. My kal v'chomer lehekdesh. In other words, that if nizik, if we pay nizikin min ha'idis kal v'chomer, there's going to be some case where we pay hekdesh min ha'idis. My kal v'chomer lehekdesh. I lema de nagach tura didan l'tura de hekdesh. If we're dealing with a case where the nizak is hekdesh, and Rabbi Akiva wants to tell us that in this case we go after the meitav of the mazik, ma pitam shori ehu amar rachmana velo shor shel hekdesh. There's no payment at all when you are nogeach shor shel hekdesh. That's not in the parsha of nizikin. Ela bum bum bum. It moves over to a different situation altogether. Let's try to understand what is this halacha of shorei eyu velo shor shel hekdesh. Generally, to understand a principle, it helps to see it in the context of perhaps a parallel principle. That within Bava Kama, we pointed out, Bava Kama has two parts. The first six prakim deal with nezikin, and then the latter prakim deal with geneva and gzela. Within Geneva and Gzela, within Geneva certainly, in the seventh perek, we have a similar drasha. If you just look with me on Daf Samach Beis, Amud Beis, that's where the Mishnah begins, the world of Kefel and Dalad Lehei, the unique payments of Geneva. So over there, the Gemara tells us that, five lines from the bottom, Yotza Hekdesh, that if you were to steal Hekdesh, there would be no payment of Kefel and Dalad Vehei. Re'ehu Ksiv, that the Torah speaks about Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu, that when pays Kefel to your buddy, to Re'ehu. Re'ehu is your buddy, Hekdesh is not your buddy. Just like here we have in our sugya, Shor Ish, velo Shor Re'ehu, velo Shor Shel Hekdesh. So also in the parasha of Kefil and Dalad Vehei, we have Re'ehu velo shel hekdesh. However, it's not so simple because we have a Gemara later on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph that has a different drasha for the same halacha, that it says Begunav mi beis ha'ish, only when you steal from the house of a fellow human being, and Chazal Doresh velo mi beis hekdesh. So Tosus on Daf Samach Gimel Med Aleph was bothered. Why do you have two drashas for the same halacha? Re'ehu velo shel hekdesh. There's no kefil and dalad vehei. And v'gunav mi beis ha'ish velo hekdesh. There's no kefil and dalad vehei in hekdesh. And Tosus basically comes to the conclusion that these are all one long drasha. However, if you look at the source sheet that I gave you, and let's look together at the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, he brings both drashas. And I think that even though it's known to be a Reb Chaim, I think we ourselves can play detective, play Reb Chaim, and explain why the Rebbe needs two drashas. Look together with me. Hagonev es hagoy, o sheganav nichsei hekdesh, eino meshalem ela keren bilvat. There's no kefil and dalad vehei. Sheneemar, quotes the pasuk, yishalem shnaim l're'ehu. L're'ehu v'lo lehekdesh. L're'ehu v'lo legoy. V'chein, says the Rambam, Hagonev kodshim mibeis ba'alehen, bein kodshei kodshim, bein kodshei kalim, bein kodshim she'en lef ha'balim ha'chayim v'achrayus, bein kodshim she'balim ha'chayim v'achrayus, with a neder or a nedava, hareze potter min ha'kefil, v'tashul midalad v'hei, she'ne'emar, v'gunu v'beis ha'ish, v'lo mibeis hekdesh. So on the very, very superficial surface, it would appear that the Rambam is doing a beautiful job of quoting two Gemaras, but these two Gemaras are sort of unnecessary. Like, why do you have to have two psukim for the same halacha? I mean, again, the Rambam over here is not being mechadish anything. He's simply quoting Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, and quoting Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. But that's a problem, because these two Gemaras, Lechora, are giving us the same halacha from two different psukim. This is what Tosfos raised. But the Rambam Kanereh feels that the way he formulated it, there is really no contradiction. There's no... They're dealing over here with two halachas. What are the two halachas that Rambam's talking about over here? When we speak about hekdesh, what can we be speaking about in the world of hekdesh?
It seems like the first hekdesh he's talking about is like Perek Habayis.
Excellent. That's what Reb Chaim said. In other words, if I say this book is hekdesh, if I were to say this table is hekdesh, my suit is hekdesh, then the halacha is that this book now belongs to Hekdesh. In Dine Mamonos belongs to Hekdesh. What would I do with it? I'd give it to the Gizbar, I'd give it to the treasurer of Hekdesh, and he would decide. Either he'll put it into the library of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, that the Kohanim could learn the Mishnah Brura, and it would be part of Hekdesh, or there'll be an auction, and Hekdesh will sell this Mishnah Brura to someone else, and the money will go for Hekdesh. In other words, but it belongs to Hekdesh. Nothing to do with the world of Korbanos. This is simply what the Rambam calls over here nichsei hekdesh. Means that we have hekdesh in terms of bailus. Hekdesh owns it. So if someone were to steal a book of Bedek HaBayis, I was makdish this book, and now someone steals it, there's no kefel and dala dehe. What's the second din of the Rambam? V'chein agonev kochim. These kochim, these are korbanos. These are korbanos. Ruvein says, I want this animal to be an ola. I want this animal to be a shlamim. And someone steals that animal from Reuven. Then there's no kefel and dalad vehe, because begunav mi beis ha'ish, v'lo mi beis hekdesh. The nafgamina, of course, would be, I don't pay kefel or dalad vehe, but what do I pay? Keren. Right? I'm parted from kefel and dalad vehe, but if I'm the ganav, I have to pay back keren. So if the animal is still around, I'll return him. If he's not around, I pay his value. To whom do I pay the keren? If I steal a book that is kodesh bedek habayis, to whom do I pay the keren?
The gizbar.
To the gizbar. If I steal a korban, to whom do I pay the keren? To the owner of the animal, right? In other words, that over here, by a book, before I said this was hekdesh, it was mine. Once I say it's hekdesh, now belongs to hekdesh. But when I set aside a korban, I'm not giving it to hekdesh. It's my korban. It's going to be, when I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be on my name, right? May kara, the language of the Gemara, may kara tura deruvein, vahashta tura deruvein. The uniqueness of hekdesh in terms of a korban is that this korban now has a mission. This animal has to now be brought to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. I can't decide to use this animal to plow my field. I can't decide to shech this animal and to eat it. I set it aside as a korban. What is the common denominator between these two drashos? On what am I potter from kefil? Or if you want to, what do I need in order to be chayev on kefil?
Property be it's like the full ownership of
exactly. In order to be chayev kefil, I have to have full ownership of hedyot, a full ownership of something outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If I give a book to hekdesh, then there's no ownership of hedyot, it's pure hekdesh. If I'm makdish a korban, it's still mine, but my ownership is limited. I've limited my ownership. Normally, ownership means control. Right? If I own something, if I want, I can throw it into the garbage. It's mine. In other words, I can do with it whatever I want. However, the moment I say this animal is hekdesh, irrelevant of what type of hekdesh, kodshe kalim, kodshe kodshim, neder, nedava, whatever level of hekdesh, I'm limited in terms of what I can do with it. Namely, my bailus has been eaten away. My bailus has been limited. There's no kefil and dalat vehe unless there's full balut. So the common denominator is that in these two situations, I no longer have full ba'alut. One of them we call, if I lost my ba'alut totally, re'ehu v'lo shel hekdesh. If I lost my ba'alut partially, v'gurum beis ha'ish, lo mi beis hekdesh. But we're dealing over here with ba'alut. Is that the source of the din of meitav according to, is that the reason that hekdesh is not in the realm of nezikin? In our Gemara, we have re'ehu, shore'ehu v'lo shel hekdesh. Is this an issue of ba'alut? Is this an issue of ownership? Look at the Mishnah on Daf Tesemet Beis.
Can we say that's the difference between the Gav and the Hafsa? Meaning here...
You're answering which question now?
Did Rabbi ask what the difference, that why you can't say this?
I said that we have in the world of Geneva a parallel rule to what we find over here in the Zikin. Here we see in the Zikin that the world of the Zikin does not apply to hektish. In Geneva, we have a rule that Kefal and Dalet Vehei do not apply to hektish. In Geneva, it's quite clear what is the issue. The issue is one of ba'alut, that only when I steal something which is totally owned by a fellow Jew, am I chayef Kefal and Dalet Vehei. If it's not totally owned by a fellow Jew, either partially or totally, then there's no Kefal and Dalet Vehei. The world of Kachim, it's not totally owned by my fellow Jew. Either it's Kachay Beda Kabayis and it's owned totally by Hekdesh, or it's Kachay Mizbeach and the owner's, the head yot's ownership is limited. He has to use it. What I'm asking is the world over here of Shor Re'ehu, V'lo Shor Shel Hekdesh, a similar world? Is that the issue? Is the issue one of Ba'alut? Or is the issue something different? Not simply different. Look at the Mishnah on Daf Tesemet Beis. Again, it's one of those early Mishnayos that the Maritz Chayis pointed out with a very archaic syntax. Kol shechavti b'shmiroso hichsharti es nisko, hichsharti b'miksas nisko, chavti b'tashlume nisko, behechsher kol nisko. Then he continues, nechasim she'ein behem me'ila, nechasim she'ein shel b'nei bris, nechasim miyuchadim, b'chol makom, chutz mirishus ha-miyuchedes le-mazik, u-rishus ha-nizak v'ha-mazik, kishihizik chav-ha-mazik, l'shantit shlomei nezek, mimetav ha-aretz. The line that we need over here is that nechasim she'ein behem me'ila, on that, kishihizik chav-ha-mazik, l'shantit shlomei nezek, mimetav ha-aretz. Namely, what is this din of Me'ila? Is there a din of Me'ila in all Kachim?
No.
In other words, what does the Me'ila show about the level, about the concept, about the world of Kachim? What was it telling us? We're saying over here, you only pay nezikin on nechasim she'ein bahem me'ila.
Either now or in the future, it will fully be hektish, right? It's like shor or not.
I would take it, you know, not. I would take it as opposed to the world of Geneva and Gzela, as opposed to the world of Kefil and Dalet Vehei, where we were concerned about what type of hektish. What are we concerned about over here? Not what type of hektesh. Is this kachay beda kabayis? Is this kachay mizbeach? But rather, mi'ila is both in kachay beda kabayis and in kachay mizbeach. But rather, we're dealing over here with a level of hektesh. To have mi'ila means that we have a high level of kedusha. A high level of kedusha takes something out of the world of the Zikin. A low level of kedusha, we would still have a world of nezikin. Namely, that over here we're dealing with a totally different criteria. We're not dealing with the criteria of do we have ownership or don't we have ownership. That's meaningful in the world of Geneva and Gzela. And therefore, we have two psukim because there are different types of ownership. Over here, we only have one pasuk. Shor re'ehu v'lo shor shel hektesh. And the Mishnah defines what level of hektesh do you need? You need a hekdesh she yesh bo me'ila. For the p'tur, from the world of Nezikin, you need hekdesh that yesh bo me'ila. Namely, that it's as though we're saying that in the world of hekdesh, when you get to a high level of hekdesh, we move over into a realm of me'ila, not into a world of Nezikin. In other words, that the world of Nezikin is limited to the world to the world of chulin and a low level of hekdesh. But a high level of hekdesh, that's out of the realm of Nezikin. There we move over into a different realm called me'ila. That anyone getting hana'ah from hekdesh, anyone who's taking hekdesh, is going to get involved in a totally separate ether called me'ila, with its own criteria, with its own chiyuvim v'chulei. The world of Nezikin is a world of either hedyot or a low level of kedusha.
That's why we need two psukim.
That's why we don't need two psukim.
In the world of Geneva.
In the world of Geneva, where we're dealing with the world of ba'alut, there we need two psukim.
Yeah.
One in terms of total ba'alut, one in terms of partial ba'alut. But here we're not dealing with the world of ba'alut. We're dealing with the world of kedusha. Within the world of kedusha, we have a kedusha gevoha and a kedusha nemucha. The kedusha gevoha, that's nechasim sheyesh behem et me'ila, but you only have the world of Nezikin in the world of kachim she ein behem me'ila. And that would explain, look over here now in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. What is the Mishnah teaching us about the world of Hekdesh? Shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel Hekdesh. Vishal hekdesh shenogach l'shor shel hedyot patur shenemar shori ehu v'lo shor shel hekdesh. What is being said over here? We don't care whether hekdesh is the mazik or the nizak. Hekdesh is not in the realm of nezikin. Hekdesh is simply not in the realm of nezikin. In other words, in the world of kefil and dalet v'hei, clearly, we're only concerned about the nignav. We're not concerned who's the ganav. We're concerned only about who is the nignav. In other words, who is the victim. Over here, though, we're dealing with a world of Nezikin. We're saying the world of Nezikin does not apply to Kodshe Gavoha. The world of Nezikin, whether we're dealing with the Mazik or the Nizak, we're not dealing with a world of Nezikin, we're dealing with a world of Me'ila. Taking this approach, what would you say, Sof Kol Sof, this Pasuk is found specifically by Keren, Ki Yigov Shor Ish Es Shor Re'ehu. The Torah is talking about Keren. You remember the Torah speaks about Keren with the phrase Yigov, when we're dealing with a shor hurting, goring another shor. Ki yigov shor ish es shor re'ehu umeit, da-da-da. Should this p'tur apply to other nezikin according to our approach up to now? Shein, regel, bor, eish. Should we have a p'tur?
Yeah.
L'chora. Certainly, what we're saying is that the moment we move over into the realm of Me'ila, there's no world of Nezikin. Is that the halacha? Do we say that this p'tur of Shor Ish v'lo Shor Ehu is across the board in terms of all of Arba Avos Nezikin? What does Rashi say on Daf Tesem Ed Beis? Nechasim she'ein behem me'ila, klomar, im hizakti nechasim she'ein behem me'ila, ani chayav l'shalem. Aval im hizakti nechsei hekdesh, eini chayav, denafgalon kuhu nezikin mishorei ehu. Now what does Rashi say? Nafgalon kuhu nezikin mishorei ehu. This fits in very beautifully. Namely that once we hit the realm of me'ila, we're not in the world of nezikin. It's not something specifically by Keren. In other words, we learn everything out from Keren. Nafko and Kulin Nezikin Mishor Re'ehu. What is this called in the halachic process when we are taking one prat and learning out a principle from this one case. We have one case in the Torah, only by Keren, but we're saying it applies to all the world of Nezikin. This is called a Binyan Av, right? A Binyan Av. In other words, that we are viewing Keren as an example. It's an example of Nezikin. There's no need for the Torah to tell us this in each case individually. It's a principle. It's a principle that we're learning out from the world of Nezikin. That's how Rashi learned it out. Let's go back to our sugya on the Vav Amud Beis. The Lishna Kama of Rashi. Shori Ehu Amar Rahmana V'lo Shor Dehekdesh. Im Nogach Shor Shal Hekdesh Patur. V'hu Hadin L'chol Shar Nezikin. She mazik et hekdesh patur. That Rashi is l'shitasa. Right? Just here, he doesn't say where it's learned out from. But l'chora, it's the same concept. It's this binyan av. We're using shori ehu as an example of the whole world of Nezikin. Tosos alatar, right? This tosos over here, vavim adeis shori ehu. Tosos comes to the same conclusion as Rashi. It applies to all Nezikin. But Tosos doesn't want to use a binyan av. So what does Tosus try to do? On the top of Daf Zayin Amar Aleph. I didn't hear, I'm sorry.
Because he uses a
mehatzad. Right. In other words, he'll bring it in from a mehatzad, that we find this by Keren, and we find this by Adam, and we find this here. And so we're going to build a mehatzad, and we're going to pull everything together, and then the moment you do that, maybe there are exceptions, maybe not exceptions, but he's basically working off of the same assumption that it applies to all Nezikin. Look at the language of the Rambam that I quoted for you in Hilchos Niske Mama, Ches Aleph. Shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel Hekdesh. O shel Hekdesh shenagach shor shel Yisrael. This is a quote from the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Patur. Sheneemar shorei ehu, v'kol hakodshim shechayav maleihem meila, hein she'ein bahem din nezikin. No, what does the Rambam say? Is this a din specifically in Keren?
No,
he says black and white again. Ein bahem din nezikin. Okay, so this then is the overall approach. However, there's always going to be one. There's one Rishon who disagrees. There's one Rishon who disagrees. Both he says it, and then he's quoted. Who is that Rishon who disagrees?
The Meiri
is another team. The Meiri doesn't say anything in his own name over here. Who's he quoting? Let's look at it together. Umikoma kam shor shalanu, namely shor v'hedyot, shenagach shor shal hekdesh, o shal hekdesh shenagach et shalanu, peturim legamrei, re'ehu amar rachmana, v'lo shal hekdesh. Shor shalanu sh'ocha aruga shal hekdesh. What if we have shame? We don't have Keren. Yeira'e midivrei gedolei hamafarshim, sheheim chayavim. Who is gedolei hamafarshim in the Meiri? Gedolei hamachavrim is who?
The Rambam.
Gedolei hamafarshim? The Raivin. The Raivin. In other words, we would call the Raivin gedolei hamasigim. But it's because we only have the tip of the iceberg of the Raivad's writings. The Raivad was really a Mefarish. He wrote Chidushim on everything. We just don't have them. In other words, but he was the Gedolei HaMefarshim. We have, you know, his Aros here and here and here and here. We don't have his Iker works. But to the Meiri, who was from the same neck of the woods, that's the phrase, as the Raivid. They were both from Provence, they were both from southern France, and that was turned into northern Spain. They were both from Provence. So the Meiri was Sachakol, a generation after the Raivid. He still had all the Perushim of the Raivid. So in Baba Kama we have Chidushi HaRaivid. So in Chidushi HaRaivid, he also takes for granted this is a local halacha by Keren. I mean, again, he doesn't have to explain himself. That's what the Gemara says. Shor ish v'lo shor ehu. That's the context of our Mishnah. That's the context of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. What does the Raivid do with the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis, which appears to be dealing with the world of Nezikin in general? We don't know. Doesn't tell us how he, you know, is that that's where we had the Rashi, that Kulu Mazikin, because the, over there, the Mishnah on Testament Beis doesn't speak about Mazik A or Mazik B. It speaks generally, Kol Shachafti Bishmiraso, Ki Shachiv Hizik Chava Mazik L'Shalem, and there it mentions, Ein Nechasim She'ein Behem Me'ila. So that Mishnah certainly is the source of Rashi, Tosos, the Rambam, etc. What is the Raivin quoted by the Me'iri say? We don't know. However, the Raivin has a deeper problem within our sugya. What is our sugya looking for? What's our sugya looking for? Within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo ba hakosav el olivos nezikin min ha'idis, kalvachomer lehekdesh. The Gemara sugya is looking for, what does kalvachomer lehekdesh mean? Because if we're talking about the world of nezikin, right? So, nezikin shorei ehu, amarachmona. So where do we have Meitav? Not in the world of Nezikin. The whole din of Meitav is Meitav Sadeu Meitav Karmo Yishalim is found in the world of Nezikin. So what is the, in other words, what question do we have on the Ravid? If the Ravid says, "My kal v'chomer lehekdesh ilim inogach tura didon l'tura dehekdesh sharei o marachmana v'lo shor shel hekdesh," what should the Gemara then say? Ella?
It's not like kal v'chomer because it's
out of arms. In other words, the Gemara should have gone to shame. The Gemara simply should have moved. Okay, it's not Karen. Karen, we have a Xeris Hakasuv that there is no Nezikin. Karen, we have a Xeris Hakasuv that there is no payment in the world of Nezikin for Karen. But according to the Ravid, that's a local Xeris Hakasuv. In Shane, if an animal ate an aruga of Hekdesh, I was makdish my field of tomatoes to hekdesh, and then someone's animal came and ate those hekdesh. So then lechora, according to the Ravid, he'd be chayev. That's not Karen. So why didn't the Gemara simply move from Karen to Shem? So the Ravid was knew this issue. He knew that this was a question. So let's look in the Me'iri. It's in the Ravid itself as well. But the Me'iri was also bothered by it. Skip to the fourth line over there of the Miri, the middle of the line. V'shema tomar im kain. If this Ravid is correct, that really the p'tur is only of Karen, but other mazikin are really chayov for hekdesh. Im kain kishehiksha ilem anegicha de k'tura didan lishnile. The Gemara should have answered b'shoachal aruga shal hekdesh shechayov tir tzuba. Those gedolei hamafarshim. We have this in the. In the Chidushi HaRaivet, Tirtzuba, Mishum Dehalo Itztricha Dikra, Dehalo Itztricha, Dikra Stamaksiv, Ubir Bistei Acher, Loshna Hedyot, Loshna Hekdesh, Velohutzrach LeKalvachomer. Namely, that within the Raivet, he says, this couldn't be pshat in Kalvachomer LeHekdesh. In other words, we're not learning out Shane as a Kalvachomer from the world of Rabbi Akiva, that is the world of Meitav. The world of Meitav is found in Shein. It's not a Kalvachomer. We're looking for where do we have a Kalvachomer to Hekdesh? Where do we have a case which is not black and white in the Torah? That we have to learn a Kalvachomer. That if Hedyot is a din of Meitav, Kalvachomer and Hekdesh is a din of Meitav. But in the world of Shein, there's no difference between Hekdesh and Hedyot. There's no kalvachomer. The Torah says that when an animal will beer b'steyacher, if an animal is mazik, then meitav sadeu meitav karma yishalem. There's no difference between hedyot and hekdesh. Only by keren there's a difference. There's no need to build a kalvachomer. That's what the Ravid himself points out over here. Okay, so we have a machokas rishonim. Our question that we have to ask ourselves now is, we have within Rashi two Lashonos. The first Lashon of Rashi is clearly in sync with Rashi on Daf Tesamid Beis. The question is, what do we do with the second Lashon of Rashi? Let's read the second Lashon of Rashi. Lishna Achrina. Lahachi nakat shor hekdesh, velo muki le ba'achilas behemto sedei hekdesh. We don't set it up as a case of shane. Mishum delo mishkachasla. Because the case of Shane eating a stei hekdesh is too unusual to have been mentioned. Di stei cherem, because if we're talking about that which I had set aside for as cherem, I said I'm machrim my tomatoes. La kohanim have ukistei hegyot dami. That's not hekdesh. That belongs to Shevet Kahuna. Shevet Kahuna owns it with their hedyot status, not with their hekdesh status. They own it as individuals. V'leka lemeimer kavachomer lehekdesh, because that's not really hekdesh. V'stei hekdesh nami havei letzorech bedek habayis. O hamakdish podeyu la'alter, o mochrin oso la'alter la'acher. And to find a field of tomatoes that belongs to hekdesh, let's say I said I want my tomatoes to go to hekdesh. What's going to happen immediately? I'll call the gizbar and say I have this field of tomatoes. What will the gizbar immediately do?
So
he'll redeem it. What's he going to do with tomatoes? He'll immediately redeem it. In other words, or sell it to someone else, take the money. Ukishi yotze bayovel la kohanim havei, and then the yovel goes to the kohanim. So when do we ever have a state of hekdesh? We have a state of hekdesh between the time that I say hareza hekdesh and the time I call the gizbar. So we have 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes that it's going to be a stay hekdesh, because after the yovel goes to the kohanim. Dichsiv v'haya hasada b'tzeisov v'yovel la'kohanim havel. Let's stop at this point, okay? So the Rashi says that having a field of hekdesh that would be eaten by an animal, and that we could speak about Shane, is lomish kachasli. What is this? How do you understand this Rashi? Is Rashi working within the world of Rashi, or within the world of the Ravid? This Lishna Basra of Rashi is assuming that Shane of who eats hekdesh is chayav, or Shane who eats hekdesh is pater. How did you understand this Rashi when you learned it?
Like what we're calling the
right. Okay, so that's a machlokis mefarshim of Rashi. So let's start off with the with the side of the of the Maharam. The Gemara, according to Maharam, Rashi, the Lishna Basra says the Gemara brought a case of Karen. Why didn't the Gemara bring a case of Shane? Says Rashi. Because lomish kachas. It's not likely. Is this the only case you could think of Shane, when I have a field of tomatoes and the animal goes into my field of tomatoes and eats the tomatoes that are attached to the ground?
No.
No. What would be a normal case?
They have like a pile of grain lying around.
I have tomatoes. And an animal goes and eats my tomatoes. An animal goes into my kitchen and eats my tomatoes. An animal goes to my yard and I have a basket of tomatoes. And it eats my tomatoes. What pushed Rashi over here to set it up as a case of karka of hekdesh, and then say, well, that's not mishkachasle. You know, you set it up as a case which is lo mishkachasle. That's not really very fair. In other words, why didn't Rashi? In other words, so what does the Maharam say in the back of the Gemara? Yes,
I think because the Gemara right now is talking about.
Excellent. This is the language of the pasuk. Ubir biste acher meitav sadehu umeitav karmo yit shalem. Namely, that the Gemara is searching for a pasuk that would relate to the essence of the din of meitav. Namely, that what we're talking about over here is that Rashi in this lashon agrees that the pitur from hekdesh applies both to Karen and to Shane. And Lechori would have expected the Torah, we would have expected the Gemara to give the example of Shein, because it's Pater, Shorei Ehu, Velo, Shel Hekdesh applies to Shein as well. Why didn't the Gemara give it? Because Lomish Kachasle. But why didn't the Gemara give it about a case which is not Karka? Because the Pasuk is talking about Karka. Namely, that we can learn the Rashi very well, that this Lishna Basra is within the parish of Rashi. Rashi was just bothered if we're going to give an example of where we have a tour of Nezikin by Hekdesh, why give the example from Karen? Why not give the example from Shane, which is the source of the Din of Meitav? Right? We're talking about Meitav. So why move to Keren? Why not deal with Shein per se? So Rashi answers, because it's low, it's not found. That's one way of learning. That's the way the Maharam learned. How else could you learn Rashi? I know Benayahu. That really this Lishna Basra is like whom?
Right.
Like the Ravid. That you're chayev for eating. That when Shane eats hektesh, it's chayev. When Shane eats hektesh, it's chayev. And so what is the Lishna Basra going on over here? When the Gemara said, what's the Kal V'chomer? If we're talking about a case of Karen is patur, what should the Gemara have done at that moment? Said, what are we talking about? The Gemara should have moved from Karen to Shane, because Shane really you're chayev. So the Gemara should have moved from Karen to Shane, because in Shane you're chayev. Why didn't it do that according to Rashi?
Because it's
lo mishkachas leh. Why didn't it do that according to the Ravid? Because that's not a kal v'chomer. Namely, that the Rashi over here is coming to answer the same question that bothered the Ravid, because this is the shita of the Ravid, but just instead of giving the Ravid's answer, well, that's not a kal v'chomer, that's black and white. In other words, that in the world of Shein there's no difference between Hedyon and Hekdesh. Rather than say that, Rashi simply said, lo mishkachas leh. Okay? So we can learn Rashi in either direction, namely that Rashi over here is asking why the Gemara didn't give the example of Ptur from Shein, or why the Gemara didn't give the halacha of Chaya from Shein. You could learn Rashi in either direction. The question is on what phrase of the Gemara was Rashi saying this Hu Hadin? I'm sorry. What phrase is he saying? Stay hektish. Is he going on the original my kal v'chomer lehektish yilema the nogach tura didon the tura the hektish shariyeh omer achmana v'lo shoshel hektish, that on that the Gemara should have substituted Shein? Or is he going on the ela? In other words, moving over to a case where you're going to be chayav, why did the Gemara come on to this strange case of harei alai mona lebede kabayit da da dam? Why not simply give a case of Shein? Okay, so these are two options of learning Rashi. I'm not aware that either of them is better or worse than the other. Both can fit in, yes?
What do we do with the Rashi on Tanam on Biz then?
That's the Lishna Kama of Rashi. Rashi Baz has two Lishonos, so Lishna Kama and a Lishna Basra. So the Lishna, in other words, the Lishna Kama is in sync with the Rashi on Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Lishna Basra is a different Shita. But Rashi just brings it up over here in Achinami. In other words, what we don't know really what the Ravid does with the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis. We don't know how he deals with it. So we don't know how the Lishna Basra deals with that Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Okay, we have one more point just to finish this Rashi. Now let's go back to the end of Rashi. Rashi says, V'i kodem pedia, if you want to set this up, that when do we have a din of Shein eating hekdesh, kodem pedia, before the owner or before the gizbar was poda it? Previously we said that's a very low shriach. But if becholzot you want to set it up, ein me'ila bikarkaot, the kol hamachuba lakarka kikarka dame. What's going on over here? Who's talking about me'ila? We're talking about nezek. The world of meitav is in the world of nezikin. What is this Rashi coming to? What does this line of Rashi mean? V'i kodem pedia ein me'ila bekarkot the kol hamachuba lakarka kikarka dame. What is Rashi adding over here?
In Ila, then yes, the possibility of Nezek, based on the original Daf Tes.
So over here, we, you know, we can understand this in one of two ways. Rabbi Reichman quotes the Rav in his Shiurim in a very, very simple way, that Rashi is saying, certainly, there's a Petur of Re'ehu on Karka of Hektish. Just he adds that also, there is there would also be a pitur from me'ila on karka of hekdesh. Namely, there's nothing to speak about a payment of metav, because there are no payments on the karka of hekdesh. There's no payment of nezek, re'ehu, v'lo shel hekdesh, and there's no payment of me'ila. So there's nothing to speak about metav. That's all. It's just sort of adding just another factor that don't say, okay, there's no nezikin, maybe there's me'ila. There's no nezikin, there's no me'ila. There's no payment at all on karka of hekdesh, and therefore there's nothing to speak about metav. However, the Maharshal over here says that Rashi is relating to the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis told us that where there is no me'ila, there is nezikin. When you have a low level of hekdesh, where there's no me'ila, then you have a din of nezikin. And Rashi is telling us that this level of karka, that karka is that low level of hekdesh. Namely, the Rashi is telling us, the e kodem pedia, if we would have had a case of kodem pedia, then there should have been the zikin, because ein mi'ilo bekarkos, kikol ha-machuba lekarka kikarka dame. And therefore you need the reasoning of lo shchiach. And what Rashi is trying to explain, why he had to come on to the reasoning of lo shchiach. Why didn't he simply say that there is no, that in karka of hekdesh, we're in the realm of me'ilo. So Rashi says that ikodem pedia ein me'ilo bekarkos, that karka is considered to be that low level of hekdesh on which there is no me'ila. And since there's no me'ila, then there should be nezikin. And if there should be nezikin, then there should be nezikin. Why then is there, if there should be nezikin, so why then was this not brought in our sugya? Again, because of lo shchiach. Why? In other words, Rashi is explaining, why do you have to come on to the lo shchiach? Why didn't he simply say that we're talking about hekdesh, and in the world of hekdesh, there is a din of me'ila, and with the moment there's a din of me'ila, there's no nezikin, and that's what Rashi over here is explaining to us. Ein me'ila b'karkos, they call it mechuba l'karka k'karka dame. This din that Rashi mentions over here is just a very mechudesh din, that ein me'ilu l'karkos. We have a din that there's no tuma by karka. We have a din that karka can't become avodah zarah. In other words, if I were to bow down to Mount Rushmore and I would want to worship the four presidents that are etched into the mountain, then Mount Rushmore is not osur b'hanoah. I can't, there's the the Iser Hanav Avodah Zarah only applies to objects I can hold in my hand, not to a mountain, not to something which is mechuba l'karka. Asherah is the exception. So Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that Yitachen, that according to Rashi, he's understanding over here that we have a certain common denominator, that to say, in other words, that man that man has sort of has limited impact on God's world. In other words, there's a world of man and then there's a world of God. The world of man are items, are objects. There, I can make an item tame, I can make an item of avodah zarah, I can make an item fully hekdesh. When it comes to God's world, the mountain, there's much less that man can do. Man cannot make a mountain tame, man cannot make a mountain usur as avodah zarah, and similarly, man cannot make a mountain hekdesh on a level that there would be me'ila. He can't make it on that level. It's simply beyond his ability. It's part of Akash Baruch Hu's world, not part of his world. Okay, we'll stop over here. So what we've seen today, we started off with Rav Yishmael's Ahani Gzeira Shava Vahani Kra, and saw that in two different directions, one of which would help us understand why the Rosh would bring this din of Rav Yishmael. Then we moved over to the world of Rabbi Akiva, and we saw that the world of Rabbi Akiva is quite clear that we're dealing with a definition of Meitav. And then we moved within Rabbi Akiva over to his Kal Vachomer of Hekdesh, where we have a Gzeras Hakasuv of Shor Ish Velo Shor Shor Re'ehu Velo Shor Shal Hekdesh, that there's no dinim of Nezikim by Hekdesh. And we pointed out that it's opposed to Gneva, where we have issues of ba'alut, of ownership. Here, the Mishnah deals with me'ila, that a high level of hekdesh is simply not nitvas in the world of Nezikin, and that would be both on the level of the Masik and the level of the Nizak, Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin, and according to the most Rishonim, it would apply both to the to all Nezikin. It would apply across the board to all Mazikin. Karen over here is only the tip of the iceberg. How do you learn it out from Karen? That's a Machokas Rishonim, but that's the sheet of Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. However, the Ravid, the Gedolei HaMefarshim, he understands that it's limited, a Ptur which is limited to the world of Karen. And then the issue of why is Shein not brought in our Gemara as an example of where you would have a Kal Vachomer from Tehekdesh that you pay from Meitav. And so the Ravid answered that that's not a Kal Vachomer. That's Pshat in the Pasuk, that we have a din of Meitav by Shen, according to the Ravid. The first language of Rashi over here, the first Lashon is Rashi and Daf Tes. The second Lashon is unclear. Is he working with Rashi and Daf Tes? And he was just bothered, why would he bring in Shen as an alternative? He was bothered, why would he bring in Shein instead of Karen? After all, isn't that the main parsha? That's what the Maharam points out. And he says, Lo Mishkachas, because as Noach pointed out, we need a case of stay hekdesh, and stay hekdesh is not Mishkachasle. Or according, maybe that the ratio here is like the Ravid. And within the Ravid, why didn't the Gemara offer the alternative? And rather than give the Ravid's answer, the Rashi says simply lo mishkachasli. Then we got to the end of Rashi, and that end of Rashi, why are we bringing in the whole concept of me'ila at all? We're talking about meitav in the zikin. So either Rashi is simply adding, and don't think that we have a payment of me'ila and you'd have meitav in that payment. There's no me'ila here at all, or Rashi is coming to explain. Rashi is coming to point out, why are we speaking about a world of payment of Nezek? Isn't the Karka Hekdesh? So he points out, this is only a low level of Hekdesh. It's a low level of Hekdesh on which there would be a Parsha of Nezikin, but we have the Ptur, but we have the issue of Lomish Kachasle. And that's why it's not brought up over here. Okay, B'lin Neder. Next time we'll move over into the answer of the Gemara. And pretty much, I'll give you my makamas, pretty much go through Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. It's not a difficult Gemara. It's a little unusual for us, but it's not a difficult Gemara. There is a ktsos that I'll send you to. It's Malchokas between him and the Tumim, quoting the Gemara over here, and a Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz that answers a number of questions on this sugya. I'm not mistaken, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz is found on Daf Lamed Zayin, but it relates to our sugya. And aside from that, basically just Gemara, Rashi, and Tosos. Okay, but I'll give you a page mark. Almost.